Didn't do too bad for a solo gig. All right, if you will, take and open your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk. We'll test out your Old Testament knowledge. Mike, that's not Tobacco, that's Habakkuk. You got it? There you go. I always can rely on Mary Jane to keep him straight. Most of the time. Be chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. As we look, this is the third week of Sunday before Christmas. The Advent, what we look at the topic is joy. You know, when we think about joy, it comes in a lot of different shades and ways. Kind of like I've teased Megan with her hot pink hat. You know, I get blinded on the other side with a hot pink shirt. Did you steal the hat from him? He said you stole it. He had a matching hat. Oh, okay. There's some swapping somewhere going on there. But if you think about it, you know, joy can be expressed with exuberance. And we dance and jump up and down for joy. We sing at Christmas, "Joy to the World." But joy also can be a time of calmness, knowing that despite what all is going on, we take joy that we have a sovereign God that's in control. No matter what takes place, we're in His hand and His care. And we take a joy out of that. And Jesus says that He will give us His joy. And so joy comes in a lot of different ways, but they all revolve around the fact that because of Jesus Christ, we can have a joy that passes understanding. Oftentimes in sorrow or trials and troubles, people ask, how can you still have joy? You know, in Thessalonians 5:16, Paul tells us, rejoice always. We've talked about that before. That's a difficult thing to do sometimes, is to rejoice in the circumstances of what is taking place. First Peter also tells us that we should be rejoicing with exceeding joyfulness when we suffer and even as partake in part of His suffering when He's revealed. And one day when we go to heaven, that is pure joy. We get to see our Savior. So this morning as we look in Habakkuk, let me set the stage for you for the passage, the three verses that we're going to read. Habakkuk was a prophet to the Israelites. What they had suffered, if you read in the first part of this, in the time historically of the area, Israel has been utterly destroyed and devastated by Babylonians. They have come in and feeds into the Daniel, as we know. They took the cream of the crop. They split up families. They dispersed them. And then they took the best and the most intelligent and everything back to Babylon. And they served there for Nebuchadnezzar. And, of course, God uses all things, as we know in Daniel, how He used Daniel and his friends to be a witness in order to witness to Nebuchadnezzar, to realize that there was only one true and living sovereign God. God also tells us that we have not a spirit of fear, but of victory. And I thought about that when He says He has a spirit of victory. We're right now in the different seasons of playoffs and sports being played. And you've got high school and college both in their playoffs. And you see when they win. Even yesterday, if you watched the Army-Navy game, when Navy scored every time they scored their touchdown, the joy of people hooping and hollering and jumping up and down that they were ahead. And so we have that joy. And we can, it's something we can see, one of those exuberant joys. And here in Habakkuk, they have literally had everything that they knew their whole entire way of life taken from them. But yet, they can have joy. So stand with me, if you will, to honor the reading of God's Word, if you're able. Habakkuk chapter 3 will begin in verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fall, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there may be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in God for my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high heels. All of that is joy. You may be seated. As you listen to Habakkuk, what he places here with the people, he looks across how everything in their livelihood has changed. I thought also how, in a lot of ways, we've been through that season. We can see how our nation has changed. I don't remember any time in my lifetime of such division. And as you know, I read a lot of history. The only place I see the division in our nation as it's been here in the past couple of years was the time shortly before the Civil War, how one brother divided against another. And yet, we see a unity beginning to come. And we can take, I put that based on the fact of prayers of people to have leaders that will lead by God's statutes. I am exceedingly happy to know that in corporate America, we once again can wish people Merry Christmas rather than Happy Holidays. It is about Christ. And my travels this week, got told that several times at different hotels as I left, said, Happy Holidays. I said, no, it's Merry Christmas. And then we have a Happy New Year. And it seems like small things. But you know, that's the old devil's old secret. He picks away at little things constantly. Just picking. And suddenly those little things become bigger things, and they become enormous things. So here Habakkuk is talking about the joy, even though the circumstances that they're seeing in their world and what is taking place is devastating. You think about that, and we see it around the world today. Look at what he says here. He says, though the fig tree may not blossom. Figs were important in that part of the world, especially during this time. And he says, there's no fruit on the olive vine. That's the way they made their money, their commodities. And even today, the best olive oil that you can buy comes from that same land in Israel and in that Middle East. And yet they saw nothing taking place. He talks about the field, their harvest that they would have for their food. He said, there is no food. How blessed our nation is that we have always had an abundance of food. And yet we understand that that is a gift from God. He says, but yet I will rejoice. The title of the message is Christmas Joy All Year Round. I told you earlier about the guy I came in contact with, and I really thought about what he said, how that you and I, especially as Christians, because of Jesus Christ, we have Christmas every day. We said, well, that's the birth, because you couldn't have had the death and the crucifixion nor the resurrection without the birth. And I thought about that, relating it to each and every day. You know, no matter what goes on today, God brings that sun up tomorrow and we have a brand new day to start over and try again. We can be forgiven. No matter what mistakes we make, our Lord and Savior promises that if we come to Him and we repent, He is faithful to forgive. So we have those times. Even in Isaiah, in Matthew, Jesus speaks there in the 19th chapter in the 26th verse, and He tells His disciples, He says, although things may be impossible by man, all things are possible with God. We heard that this morning with testimonies, healings, and things that God is doing. What man says can't be changed, it got changed. I'm a firm believer in what we saw take place with our election. It wasn't just because people decided. God put it in place for a reason and a time. And the same is true when we don't have godly leaders. He reminds us of what it's like not to have godly leaders versus when we do. You know, Paul talks about this rejoicing in all things. If all you and I ever had was the highs of the mountains, we wouldn't appreciate it. We wouldn't understand what low times were. You know, you and I can go out here and work to build something or achieve some type of project or some goal that we have. But without that goal actually achieving it, we wouldn't understand what a defeat was. The world today says that, you know, especially we see that in sports, well, everybody's a winner. We give them all a trophy. And look at what's happened to our world. We've lost that drive, that determination of what winning is about. And it's not from a secular way of, when I talk about winning, I mean the fact that we strive for something. Jesus came and strived for you and I. He strove to have to be the son that God asked Him to be for one reason, one purpose, one goal, to reconcile me and you. If He had not got on that cross, we would not be redeemed. When all the temptation came, if He gave into it, wouldn't have been there. For all the things that Christ suffered, had He said, no, I'm not doing this, you and I would be lost. But His goal was you and I. Just as John 3:16 says, for whosoever believes on Him, it was open up to everyone and still is today. It is all about the joy that you and I might have within Him. Turn with me, if you will, for a moment to John chapter 15. Listen to the words of our Lord. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 9. Jesus had just spoken the first 8 verses about the true vine being in Him and Him in us. He continues it here and speaks of joy in verse 9. He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that you and that your joy may be fulfilled. He says that my joy may be in you and your joy to be fulfilled. We've talked before that we have a God spot. We're made in God's image. God desired and made man for one specific purpose, and that was to have a relationship with. So therefore, if we're made in God's image, we have that spot that always needs to have a relationship with our Creator. Now, we try a lot of different ways and a lot of different things to fill that spot. But nothing will ever fill it but Jesus Christ. The relationship with the Creator who made us. We come this morning and we speak about worshiping. Turn with me, if you will, about and in that worship, we should have joy. Turn, if you will, over to Revelation chapter 4. Always the reading of Revelation promises that when it is read aloud and those who are in attendance and those who read will find that they are blessed. Now, Revelation chapter 4, John comes into this. And of course, we understand and we believe he is led by the Holy Spirit. He is taken actually in this vision literally up to heaven. And he begins to paint a picture in chapter 4 of everything that he sees. You think about that for a moment. When you get to see a beautiful sunrise or a beautiful sunset, or in the springtime in the hill country when we've had a good deal of rain through the winter months in the spring, and we see the bluebonnets out in a field, we try to describe that to others of our families or even our friends of what we have seen, how beautiful and picturesque we see that. Artists will take and try to capture it on canvas or take pictures of it that we can share with others. And here in 4, that's exactly what John is doing. He begins to describe in these first verses what he sees as he enters the throne of heaven. And he speaks about how that even the pavement seems like it's clear glass. And he says, here Christ sits upon the throne and describes him. And he talks about there are living creatures there, some of which, what he calls the four living creatures, have six wings and they have eyes all over their body and the inside and the outside to see everything that's doing. But I want to draw your attention here, if you will, to these verses beginning in verse 8. He says, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes round and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Now, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. That's a picture of heavenly worship. Now tell me you're going to stand there like John and witness that and not have exceeding joy in your heart. We get joyful about when we have a great church service and how we feel the Spirit is here. Joy is not necessarily something that we feel as an emotion, but it's an inward application of our spirit that begins to come out. As I said at the beginning, it can be exuberant. Y'all been there when Miss Connie first saw that car and began to squeal like a six-year-old girl? Y'all would understand exuberant joy. Had her face plastered upon that window, and it looked like a dog salivating over a T-bone steak. There was drool on the window. I teased her about that. I said, look at that car, was all clean. That's got that nose print and all those drill marks down the window. You see, when we receive God's blessing, do we not do the same thing? I can only imagine for a moment when Miss Kathy called me and she said, I told Joe I got to call you and share it with you. She said, here's what God has done. I don't have stage 4, I have stage 1, and they can get it out. Many of you have experienced some of the same things. And we're exuberant. Or when you're last down, you're down to that last dime and there's bills stacked up, and God blesses you in some way that all of the bills are taken care of. We shout. We sing praises. But even whether we, no matter how much joy, it's what's inside, that calmness, that comfortness to know, is why Habakkuk wrote here that the sovereignty of God exists day in and day out. Here, the worship, the four living creatures say who was and is to come. And He lives forever and ever. You see, that's the joy when we accept Jesus Christ that you and I receive. Jesus said, I'll give you my joy. Whenever you pleased your mom and dad or the coach or whoever it is that you looked up to, they not only got the joy of seeing what you had accomplished, but you felt that joy that you had pleased them in some way. We will have a time of giving gifts. It's what God has given us. And on that Christmas morning or Christmas Eve, whenever it is that you and your family share those gifts and you bought for that special person that gift that you believed would make them excited and have tremendous joy, and you see their face light up, and it's exactly, and in a lot of cases, maybe more than they could have ever wished for. And you get that feeling of joy that you've shared it with someone else. Now, the fact you meet the need and you see the blessing by following God's and the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction of something He asks you to do and you do it, you have that inward joy of that comfort, that closeness, that satisfaction that I have pleased my Heavenly Father. Back in John 15, if you read a little further, it's where He talks about that you may come before Him and hear the words of, well done, my good and faithful servant. I can't imagine any more joy than hearing those words come from my Lord and Savior. And you see, you and I, because of Jesus Christ, have that joy that was brought to Mary and Joseph and to the shepherds and to go and tell the entire world. The joy, as I said, the Christmas hymn, joy to the world. We proclaim our Savior is born. We proclaim that God has kept His promise and is faithful. The Redeemer, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has been born this day. When we read that in Luke, He says, unto you this day. And that day came and comes for you and I the day we accept Jesus Christ. That joy can never be taken away from us. His joy exists, as He related to us here in John. He says, when you keep my commandments, I will impart my joy that I have with my Father into you, that your joy may be fulfilled. You see, the joy of Christmas, of giving, receiving, just the whole idea of Christmas. For a lot of folks, you have to understand, Christmas time becomes one that's very sad. People commit suicide oftentimes during the holidays of Christmas, for they have no hope. They have no joy. And yet, Jesus come to fulfill mine and your joy. No greater gift can you and I give to the world than the joy of Christmas, the joy of Christ. As I talked earlier today, when they're shopping for the gifts for kids, and the individuals come up to Sheila and wanted to be a part of that joy. The ladies were blessed, but imagine how the joy that God gave that person who gave. You never know those kids, where it went to. They're not a member of this church. For all we know, they may not even live anywhere close around here, and yet they might be our next door neighbor. But what they do know is they had God's joy placed in their heart for following that direction and that giving. Imagine the joy as we read over and over again, the joy when that one who's lost comes to know Christ. Scripture tells us that all heaven rejoices. The good shepherd goes and leaves the 99 to find that one. And when it comes home, all of heaven rejoices. Imagine mine and your joy when we get to see all of our loved ones who've gone on before us. Imagine the joy to read, to actually get introduced to some of the people, the patriarchs, the prophets that we've only read about in our Bible. Imagine your joy when you stand before Jesus Christ and look into His eyes. You see, that Christmas joy from that little babe that was born and laid in a manger, and the angels proclaim good news to all of the world. You and I have that same joy each and every day. Each and every day. Last scripture, and I'll ask you to turn with me if you will. It's one that you need to mark. Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65 in verse 14. Isaiah 65, 14. Isaiah writes, "Behold, my servants shall sing for the joy of heart." We serve a God that is all about heart. You and I sing with that joy from our heart. Whether we tap our foot, we vocally make noise, we hum, we tap our hand, whatever it is, whenever the praises to God are presented before us, it should come always from our heart. Christmas time is the same way. A joy that we get to share, not only at Christmas, but every single day, about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jerry, the man I told you about, is right. He says, "I get the joy of Christmas every day because of my Savior, Jesus Christ." No wiser, better words were ever spoken than what Jerry spoke this week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.